Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
God Himself can put you in a place to be a blessing and bless others. What in the world does that mean? Very simply, what is it? If I can boil it down to this statement, it is the blessing is an expression of fondness. It's an expression of fondness for, confidence in, and recognition of a specific person.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Out of Hebrews 11, we have taken time to kind of march through different individuals, multiple peoples. I'd like to lift out for you, I think, the most famous family of faith. Out of the 16 proper names that are given, there are five of them that come out of one family. I want to talk about that one family today. It's the life of Abraham and his descendants. They were recognized as people that every one of them had their problems, their difficulties. Fact is, there's more written about this family out of the book of Genesis than any other family. Fact is, any other family in the Bible. They're extremely important. And I'll tell you why they're important is because the same difficulties and struggles and challenges that they went through are the same you and I go through. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. What are those four? I have four of them that the scripture gives out of this family. I'm not going to get through all of it today. I want to give you the first two, and I want to give you the last two. Because I think that on a very practical note, they would be helpful for you and I and our families today. Notice, first of all, he mentions the life of Abraham in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. And actually, we preached on that topic and gave you a number of thoughts related to why God ended up putting Abraham through tests. Do you remember I made the statement that Satan tempts us to sin? God tests us for our strength. Many times they look the same. And Abraham, I think, is a simple lesson, number one, that Abraham teaches that every family will have a lifetime of faith cycles. As you look through all of these in Hebrews 11, as you look through others in Scripture, you will find this is the cycle that God takes His families through. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand this, you will end up losing confidence in God. Here's what the tests are. First of all, it starts with a test. Very simply, God brings along, as He did in Abraham, a test. What happens when the test comes? Here's what happens. Secondly, there's a truth that always is revealed. There's a truth. Something will be revealed by God. God, this is what you're trying to teach me. And out of that truth then, God gives a time of tranquility, a time in which it seems to be rest. There's peace. There's calmness. And that's the time that you begin thinking through, meditating on. Whoa, you know what? What did we learn out of that? This is the time that God deepens those lessons, that truth. And out of that, if we respond rightly to the grace of God, comes a testimony, which is what we have in place here at Hebrews 11. There's a testimony. Number two, you know, he says the life of Abraham that teaches that every family will have a lifetime of faith cycles. But also, he talks about Isaac. And notice what does he say with about Isaac, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here you find Isaac that teaches that every family of faith, as Abraham taught us the faith cycles that Isaac, God puts into His Word that teaches us that the family of faith needs the parents' blessing on their children. See, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And for Jacob, he was blessed to be the father of the Jews, while Esau was blessed to be the father of the Arabs. Even though that you find that both of these individuals ended up having conflict out of their whole life, you end up finding them, God blessing them. And for the remaining time I have, I'd like to focus in on that term because I've looked at this before, but I re-looked at it knowing and understanding that it would be good to answer, what in the world is the blessing? And God speaks much about it. Turn back to Genesis 27, if you would. I'm going to get very practical here if I could, and I don't want you to miss this. Some of you that might not be married would think, well, you know, this is like dealing with families here, and I'm not a family. I would suggest to you that I'm going to make the general application to all of us. But on a very specific basis, you end up finding in Hebrews 11 that Isaac had blessed Jacob. And then we won't get fully to verse 21, but it also says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the blessing. And let me just make some definition. First of all, I've got four questions I'm going to answer. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to do so. First of all, put down the simple question, what is it? What are we talking about, a blessing? Why in the world did God put in Hebrews 11, talking about faith, the Arab blessing? And I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are parents, this is missed as much as any other parental, I think, activity that we can do to see another generation be raised for God. Those of you that are not married and you are single, God Himself can put you in a place to be a blessing and bless others. What in the world does that mean? Very simply, what is it? If I can boil it down to this statement, it is the blessing is an expression of fondness. It's an expression of fondness for, confidence in, and recognition of a specific person. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, as the Bible talks about a blessing, there's multiple ways that God defines blessing in scriptures. He talks about a priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6. May God's face shine upon thee. That's a great expression. God's face shine upon thee. It's a sign of God's happiness with you. He also mentions in the Bible about Jesus in Matthew 19, about Jesus blessing the children. I do think these were infants. I think these were young individuals that God was recognizing that their childlikeness is what every one of us, you and I, have. It's a bestowment of God's benefit and closeness and love on someone. You also find in the Bible the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are they, the term is used. It's a benefit. It's the simple term of a bounty. You also find the term blessing is a benediction in Jude 24. You find it multiple places, but Jude 24, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Hebrews 13 is a benediction, same term of a blessing. You also find the word testament as a blessing. Why did he use that term? He used it because it's a final agreement or a covenant. Moses blessed the children of Israel. Now, on a practical basis, Jesus himself blessed the disciples in John 13-17, the last prayer that he had. But also understand that we even sometimes have blessing for food. Jesus blessed the food when we end up praying as a family. We normally pray before the food. When I thought as a kid, you should bless it afterwards, because if it's not any good, then it's kind of a tough thing to bless something you don't really like spinach and liver and stuff like that. But you are saying, God, please use this food in order to strengthen us so we could serve you. So when you boil it down, what is it? It is a fondness, a confidence, a recognition, or very simply, all of these are simply defined as God smiling on you. When you are praying for God's blessing, you're wanting God to smile on you. Now, this particular in Hebrews 11 is referring to that, but it's referring to what we would call the Abrahamic covenant, that God blessed Abraham, and God took that blessing or that covenant and transferred it to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to his son. So ultimately, that the Savior himself coming out of the lineage, that God would provide a blessing for all of us through salvation, which you find ultimately in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That God was saying, I'm not only blessing Abraham through the law, but the law is now annulled because I fulfilled the law. Christ is, through Christ, fulfilled the law. Therefore, the blessing of Abraham is now to you and I as Gentiles. So for salvation, it's a blessing. But there's also a parental blessing, the same concept. This is why I want to make it very practical. I've been challenged again by a number of books that are dealing with this. One of recent is a book by James McDonald, and the title of the book is Seven Words to Change Your Family While There's Still Time. And he gives some practical examples of this because, first of all, it's not only what is the blessing, but let me move secondly to the question, how can we communicate the blessing? If the blessing is that important to give, even as parents do to children, and we do to others, what is that? How do we do that? Look at Genesis 27, because in here is the passage that you find out of Hebrews 11 of Jacob blessing his children. What happened? How did he bless his children? And these are practical examples, I think, that'll help you and I today as we end up, particularly as parents, wanting to see God's blessing on others, our particular children or others. How do we do that? Notice Genesis 27, the beginning of verse 27, the Bible says, and this is in the context here, and his father Isaac said to him. It's interesting, in Genesis 27, here's Isaac wanting to bless his son Esau, and Jacob, the manipulator, steps in. But even in the midst of that, God sovereignly rules over the stupidity of man. God said, I'm going to do my will, and it is going to be done, and Isaac, you are going to bless. You're going to bestow goodness and kindness and love and benefit and bounty. How do you do that? Number one, I would suggest to you, as noticing this particular event, we make application to us. Number one, it comes through a spoken word. It comes through a spoken word. That's what he said, and Father Isaac said. It was verbal. Notice there are words of affection in this. I jotted down, there's words of affection. There's words of affirmation. There's words as well. When we are speaking those words of a blessing to somebody, they have to be spoken words. If you don't say it, I've said before that children read comic books. They don't read minds. If you don't say it, they don't get it. You got to vocalize it. You want to end up putting a blessing on your children. You want to end up putting a blessing on people on the sense in which you want to say, God, give your goodness to them. And you do that. They have a sense, our children, that there is a connection between that father and that mother and that child.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.